Welcome to Voicing Our Values, a series of podcasts about progressive message framing. This is the ninth segment entitled How to Talk About Healthcare. I'm Bernie Horn, the Senior Director for Policy and Communications at the Public Leadership Institute, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that seeks to help progressive lawmakers and advocates, particularly at the state and local levels of government. Please take some time to look at our website, www.publicleadershipinstitute.org. In addition to the Voicing Our Values messaging handbook, you'll find the Progressive Agenda, which contains hundreds of policy ideas and more than 150 model bills, our handbook for policy advocates called Preparing to Win, and much more. Our last podcast, number 8, explained how to talk about government in a way to get around the problem of confirmation bias, which we explained in podcast 1. To persuade, you need to understand your audience's preconceptions and where you share common ground. To avoid triggering negative emotional reactions and confirmation bias, you must start from a point of agreement and provide voters with a bridge from their preconceptions to your solutions. Along the way, show that your policies are consistent with values that they already hold dear and explain how they benefit. All this is designed to remind your listeners over and over again that you are on their side. The question now is, how do we apply this when talking about healthcare? Over the years, we progressives have been quite consistent in our support for healthcare for all, although we've only made progress piece by piece. Medicare, Medicaid, and the Affordable Care Act were all huge steps forward. But there is so much left to be done, not only in defending Obamacare, but in expanding it. And make no mistake, healthcare for all is good politics as well. But how you talk about the issue of healthcare definitely can increase or decrease public support. So what do we do? As we told you in podcast 2, begin any argument in agreement with your audience. For example, how about this? For decades, our healthcare system has been overpriced and unfair. Honestly, is anybody going to disagree with that? No. Whether your listeners have insurance or not, whether they're satisfied with their insurance or not, they understand that the system is unfair. And what are our progressive values when it comes to government? How about health, health security, safety, protection, quality of life? They all work. And with that in mind, what is our progressive vision for government when it comes to healthcare? How about this? Every American should be able to get the health care they need, when they need it, at a price they can afford. But for years, insurance companies charged too much, their policies were full of holes, and coverage was easily denied or revoked. The Affordable Care Act changed that, providing families with a new and greater measure of health security. With ACA under attack, there is a lot to be done. First, guarantee coverage to every American as a matter of right. Second, encourage healthy behavior and protect others from unhealthy behaviors. And third, allow people to make their own health care choices. Before we get into words and phrases, let's discuss your audience. Very few persuadable voters are uninsured. If they don't have insurance, they're either partisans or completely uninvolved in the political process. The people who can be persuaded one way or the other have some kind of insurance. So it does little good to talk about covering the uninsured. In a minute, you'll see how our recommended language focuses on overpriced and unfair coverage. So let's turn to the Affordable Care Act, also known as the ACA or Obamacare, versus conservative policy. First, Almost no persuadable voter understands the ACA at all. Not at all. And worse, not a single persuadable voter knows what the conservative policy is. Their ignorance makes it pretty easy for right-wingers to lie about the issue. So that's their advantage. Here's ours. One thing is certain. Persuadable voters do not want to lose their health insurance coverage or any guarantee of coverage or pay more in premiums or in deductibles or see a cut in government funding for their health care programs. So the key to persuasion is to focus on what they will lose or they may lose. Here's a narrative, for example. For decades, our healthcare system has been overpriced and unfair. It would be much worse under the right-wing plan. That one will hurt you and your family, even if you get insurance through your employer, by handing the system over to big insurance companies, allowing them to deny coverage for essential medical care, to jack up premiums for women and older Americans, and to make insurance completely unaffordable for anyone with a wide range of pre-existing conditions. So why do we say it that way? You must personalize the debate. The fact is, few persuadable voters think their own insurance is actually at stake. But it is. Focus on the aspects of the conservative legislation that directly or indirectly affect families that get health insurance through their employer. Emphasize over and over again that each one of their families will likely be harmed if this proposal is enacted. And it's easy to do that because it's true. Here's another way to say it. Another narrative. Protect your own health. Don't let Trump care put insurance companies back in control of your health care, allowing them to deny you coverage for essential medical care, jack prices way up if you have a pre-existing condition, and charge you unfairly high prices if you're in your 50s or 60s, or you're a woman, or you simply happen to live in an unprofitable location. You must understand, Trump care will devastate health care for everyone, including people who get insurance through their jobs. Again, why are we using that language? Persuadable voters want to know how the policy affects them personally, as well as their families and their friends. You have to tell them. In this language, don't emphasize the poor, people in poverty, or basically people other than who you're talking to. What you want to talk about is you and your family, hardworking Americans, families, children, people with disabilities. Make them feel like you're speaking to what's important to them. Overall, you don't want to make it sound like you're giving health insurance away. You don't want to say give health insurance. The whole point is don't deny health insurance. Don't deny health security. When the conversation turns to the uninsured, aside from the fact that they don't tend to be persuadable voters, the discussion turns off the insured voters. Avoid language about poverty because it evokes negative ideas about welfare. Use the terms hardworking, families, children, people with disabilities, because these suggest that the recipients need and deserve basic medical coverage. And as we've explained elsewhere, it's more effective to say, don't deny them the security, instead of give them the security, which doesn't work very well at all. So let's turn to another example. This example is prescription drugs. Polls often find that Americans' top healthcare priority is to lower prescription drug prices, especially high-cost drugs for chronic conditions like HIV, hepatitis, mental illness, and cancer. Three-quarters of the public believe that the prices of brand-name drugs are unreasonable. At the state level, there's overwhelming support for legislation that addresses the rising cost of prescription drugs, so it's easy to start from a point of agreement. Something like this. Prescription drug prices are skyrocketing. To protect our health, all of our families need access to medicines that are affordable. No one should ever have to choose between buying medicine or paying their rent. A new proposal in our state legislature would require price transparency for drug companies and empower the state attorney general to stop price gouging. The bill helps all of us. And for someone you know, it may actually be a matter of life and death. So, why would you say it like that? Well, you might be tempted to talk about a lot of facts and figures when it comes to prescription drugs. There's certainly a lot of them. But average Americans are already convinced of the need for this kind of legislation. You just have to connect their pre-existing beliefs about prescription drug prices to specific legislation that requires their support. Let's turn to another topic, tobacco. Despite decades of education, smoking continues to be a tremendous public health problem in the United States. You don't want to talk about smokers' freedom or smokers' rights. What you want to talk about is smoke-free, secondhand smoke, health, disease, cancer, clean air, protect our children, protect non-smokers. Why is that? People don't have the freedom or right to hurt others. There are a number of phrases that work for tobacco control that I've just listed. On the state and local levels, most of the debate revolves around two policies. First, smoke-free workplaces. You want to say something like this. We have a responsibility to protect the public health, especially when it comes to children. Years of research have clearly shown that secondhand smoke is dangerous and cancerous. Doctors and scientists have concluded that the only way to protect non-smokers from secondhand smoke is to require smoke-free workplaces. That's what we should do to defend everyone's right to breathe clean air. So why that language? Americans overwhelmingly believe that secondhand smoke is harmful. They're concerned about their own health, and it's persuasive to talk about children's health. Less than 20% of voters smoke, and even a good percentage of them support smoke-free laws. The other common tobacco-related political debate is about raising the tobacco tax. Here's a narrative about that. As adults, we have a responsibility to protect children from harm. Sadly, 1/3 of kids who smoke cigarettes will die prematurely from smoking-related illnesses. The most proven effective way to protect those children is to raise the tobacco tax. Studies show that when the tax goes up, teen smoking goes down. It's a small price to pay to protect the health of our children. Why that language? Well, for voters, you want to de-emphasize tax revenues and focus on health benefits. Legislators are interested in what they can do with the tax dollars, but it's not a strong argument to persuadable voters. For more specific ways to answer right-wing arguments on health, please refer to our book, Voicing Our Values, available on the PLI website. In future podcasts, we'll show how to use our 5 basic rules of persuasion to debate many other issues. In the meantime, do us a favor and recommend the Voicing Our Values series of podcasts to your friends. Best to you.